Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and here in the studio this morning, I have with us Ann and Connie and Brad. And we're going to be talking about a subject that's come up in discussion around our community here lately, and that's refugee resettlement. And they are members of our National Security Watchdog Committee, and as members of that committee, that is of concern to them, the security aspects of the refugees that are coming in from all around the world. Connie, did you have something to start us off with?
Yes, first of all, we do not have all the facts, but we have been doing some investigating, and we have enough facts that we can speak with some authority on it. We still have questions, but the refugees are brought in through the State Department and administered through the HHS, Health and Human Services. There are 9 different Christian organizations, and some I found out today that are secular, that bring these, that settle these people. They bring them in, they call themselves VOLAGs, or voluntary agencies. Now, it sounds like they're all volunteers, and it's charitable, but it is not. They are getting paid to do this. The federal government is paying them. Now, my question to people is, who's the federal government? Well, we the people are the federal government.
If it's federal government paying them, then it's tax dollars that's doing it.
And we have been told by some people in quote-unquote authority that there's nothing we can do because it's a federal program. Well, I for one do not believe that. I think there is something we can do. What they do is they sign these people up for welfare programs. One in North Carolina is the RMA, which is the Refugee Medical Assistance. And what that does, it includes doctor visits, hospitalization, prescription medicine, dental and eye care, and that's for up to 8 months. Then after 8 months, if you have children or you have a disability, you can reapply. So this could go on indefinitely, and that doesn't take care of a lot of other things. There is also temporary assistance for needy families, which is listed as TANF, but this also involves food stamps, public housing, WIC, education for our children, police and fire, criminal justice, and interpreters, because a lot of these people cannot speak English.
All of which is a huge strain on our economy, which is already suffering.
And we really don't know what the impact is on our town and county. But it's an estimated cost to the federal government of $5 to $8 billion a year.
That's plus nationwide.
Plus, the agencies are in competition with each other. The federal government has set it up so they are paid per person. So they're constantly lobbying for more people so they can make more money. And they compete with each other. And I found out today, well, there are 7 different towns and cities in North Carolina that are involved. And I found out today that Charlotte and Greensboro each have 7 different physical locations in each of those towns. And just one more thing, then I'll shut up. For the people at home that are listening and are saying, well, what can I do? I'm only one person. I'll tell you what you can do. Be willing. You do not have to speak at public meetings, but when other people do, it's important for us as a group to be there to support them. And that makes a huge impact on the people that are listening to them.
It does.
And
we've seen it over and over again when we go in numbers to approach different subjects that we are concerned about. It gets our attention. Common Core, for instance, is about to be repealed here in this state because of that very thing, grassroots efforts and people showing up at the legislative action committee meetings and being seen and heard. And so those are success stories.
Yeah, and not only that, but when you go to a meeting, you learn. You learn about the issues. And then, because you're sitting there representing your family, your friends, your neighbors, your community, your church, and when you learn about these things and people ask you questions, you can answer the question intelligently,
right. But
be willing.
Right. And refugee resettlement is what we're talking about. How do they classify these people as refugees? What constitutes a refugee?
Well, actually, a little background information. It was the Refugee Resettlement Act of 1980, signed by President Carter, and it's actually administered by Department of Homeland Security, Department of Health and Human Services, and the State Department. But they get their refugees from the UN, which is called the High Commissioner of the UN High Commission. He or she decides, who's going to be classified. And they pick these people, they're considered refugees if they have fear of persecution based on religion, race, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. It's called the UNHCR, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees.
Well, who took care of it before that was developed?
I don't know whether it was voluntary or each state, each country that had the refugees living there took them in and kept them.
Well, I thought it used to be churches and civic groups.
Right.
That's correct.
People with money out of their own pockets that were willing to give. And, you know, churches used to be involved in ministering to the poor all across the country. And now it's just one grant, federal grant after another. And
Well, this particular agency, actually going back to what Connie said, she mentioned North Carolina. We have Charlotte, Durham, Greensboro, High Point, New Bern, Raleigh, and Wilmington that have agencies, these so-called voluntary agencies, that resettle refugees. I mean, that's quite a bit for one state. In fact, I think it's one of the most.
It's the only one that has seven.
Has that many.
Most of them have one or two.
Mm-hmm. Right. And actually, we had invited the director of the program, which is that resettles refugees in New Bern. It's the Interfaith Refugee Ministry. And apparently, there's some kind of a offshoot of the Episcopal Diocese, the Episcopal Church. But they, we invited her to come. Well, we didn't invite her, but the county commissioners invited her to come and speak at the county commissioner meeting. And she mentioned that New Bern is one of the preferred cities in the whole country. And by preferred, it sounded like she was saying they do such a good job of resettling people, and they get them jobs and they resettle so many that they've been designated as one of the top resettlement places. And this is a little town. New Bern's a small town, and they're taking on this. They think that's a good thing. I don't know how they categorize top resettlement agency.
Now, you said Interfaith Refugee Ministry?
Yes.
Okay, but they're, it being a ministry, but they're still getting federal funds mm-hmm. to do this.
Yes, they're getting at 90% to 95% federal money, and that's out of the director's mouth.
But we don't have a number. We can't get a number.
How
much do you get? Well, a lot.
And what happened to that separation of church and state thing?
I don't know how they tie in with the churches, but it, with that kind of a name, everybody assumes it's church, it's charity.
Well, yeah, when you say interfaith, ministry, it kind of sounds like that. But the truth is, it's taxpayers' dollars.
It goes with the nine that we talked about, that Connie talked about, the nine main ones, contractors, have subcontractors, like 350 subcontractors. And that's what this agency is in town here. And they dole out the money from the top down, and they keep a lot for themselves. But the reason we get preferred cities is because those are the ones that they get paid more for. It's harder to come in. So the contractors like to come into areas that they get the higher pay, so to introduce them to this area.
And I found today that one of the directors, because I was looking at the pay scale, and one of the directors of one of the agencies makes $485,000 a year.
Ouch.
Now, how can that be a ministry?
We borrow the money to pay them. We borrow
money. Somebody has a different definition of ministry than I have. Well, let us take a break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back and continue this conversation. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're in the studios with Connie and Ann and Brad this morning. We're talking about refugee resettlement programs. Brad, do you have any idea how many refugees are being resettled?
Yeah, well, they're allowed up to 100,000, but there were 70,000 that came in 2014, and that was the $1 billion in federal government was paid for that, which doesn't include the local costs, education, health, and counties, schools, everything. That doesn't include any of that stuff. All this money goes to the contractors.
Right.
It's a money-making proposition from the top to the subcontractors that work for them.
So you're saying on top of that $1 billion, there's additional local costs to the,
yes, probably,
to the community.
Yes, probably a lot, because there were 165 individuals who resettled in New Bern in 2014. These refugees are picked by the UN. But primarily, what they're doing is emptying out refugee camps, and they decided, like, next one will be in Bosnia, or the Palestinians. They had a lot of those. They were a lot heavier before they got involved in these other things.
Now, you said there were nine preferred contractors. Do you know who those contractors are?
I certainly do. There's a Church World Services, the Ethiopian Community Development Council, the Episcopal Migration Ministries, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, the International Rescue Committee, the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and World Relief Corporation.
Well, now, most of those you mentioned, they all have a religious connotation to them. And I'm still concerned about what happened to that separation of church and state in this instance. That's something I'm not understanding there. Those are contractors getting billions of dollars in federal funds.
Who dole it out to other 350 other subcontractors who knows what they're doing. But they set up things like the Interfaith Refugee Ministry here in New Bern.
Now, is this in every state that we have these resettlement cities?
It's in the every
but
state
Wyoming.
But Wyoming, and has them. But most of them only have one or two cities. And I think these are probably the preferred cities. But we have seven. We're the luckiest one. There's nobody that has anywhere near that. Four, I think, is the highest. And most of them are one and two things. So they're pushing heavy to get them into our state for some reason.
So there's seven in North Carolina.
Seven towns besides New Bern. And each of those towns, remember, they go longer, like they go out beyond the town, like we have Havelock is part of this one here, and I think Greenville and
Jacksonville, New Bern, some in Moorhead. It depends on where they can place them for jobs.
And here in New Bern, there are two companies that I remember her saying in the meeting, Monday night, the commissioner's meeting, she said that Hatteras had signed an agreement with them and Bosch had signed an agreement. So those seem to be pretty good jobs that they're giving out.
And Moen is another
one. Yeah. So if these companies are doing the hiring, they have signed an agreement with them that they will.
And we already have a high rate of unemployment.
I know. See, my concern is, what about the Americans that are out of work? 93 million. And, you know, what about them?
Well, I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. We're not against helping refugees that are in need and seeking asylum. But we don't think it's the federal government's responsibility, or that they should have the power to take tax dollars to do that.
Right.
That should be up to individuals, and it should be ministry, actual ministry, from churches, you know, and people that are giving on their own.
Well, if it was tax dollars, it would be one thing, but these are borrowed dollars. We borrow so much money.
Over 17 trillion in debt.
That's right, 18 now. Yep. And that's what this is one of the things we're spending it for.
Well, besides the economics, what other concerns do y'all have?
Well, you know, they rely, when they do these interviews, apparently they interview the refugees and they do medical exams. I just really wonder how much information they can get out of a war-torn country, or, you know, when things have been totally in shambles. They rely on the honor system. When they ask them questions on a medical questionnaire or about their background, they're relying on that refugee to be honest. And we kind of know from things that have happened in the last, 10, 20 years?
I was going to say, can you think of any federal agencies that have let us down?
Well, can you think of any that haven't?
Honesty does. There has been brought out a lot of fraud in these refugees programs. What I found out was 70%, a lot of these agencies have some kind of fraud going on, because people want to get here and they'll, you know, make something up to get here. But
these people are being paid very well to do this.
I'd say, you said over $400,000 a year for one individual.
Exactly. That's... most of them were making well over $200,000.
Oh, my goodness. And that's all our taxpayer dollars. Well, let's take another quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. It's good to be with you today. We have Brad and Connie and Ann in the studio talking to us about the Refugee Resettlement Program. And there's a lot of things that concern me about it. The biggest thing we've talked about here is the cost to the taxpayers, using taxpayer dollars to do this, and it being administered through contractors. And it's a money-making opportunity for them. They're in competition with each other. But they all carry names that give you the impression that they're ministries and affiliated with churches and such. And that, to me, is sort of deceptive. I believe in helping these refugees that are being persecuted. There's many Christians around the world that are being persecuted and threat of loss of their life, and or being put to death and taken into slavery and other things that are going on. But the churches, we the people, individuals, should be taking that upon ourselves, not our government. Our government shouldn't be doing that. And
the churches and civic organizations were doing this this Refugee Act of 1980.
And there are some that are doing it now. There are ministries and missionaries that are out there in the field that are helping to save some of these refugees. But the particular programs we're talking about, that's why we're still gathering facts, still trying to get information put together on it, because there's a lot of unanswered questions, particularly numbers, you know, how much, how many, those types of issues. And, of course, there's other concerns that we've had that we've talked about as far as security, the screening process. I think, Ann, you indicated you don't have much faith in that.
I have, you know, I definitely have some questions about it, because we've seen before that other agencies don't always get it right, and, you know, you're relying on them totally to do it the right way and to make sure the background's checked and all of those things. I am a little bit concerned. I would like it to be more open and transparent, so that we, the people, could see what they're doing and see what they're spending and see what the numbers are and who they're bringing in to our town. That would be really helpful if it was more open and transparent.
All right. Also, Brad, you mentioned that the refugee resettlement to the United States is also in addition to our immigration program.
That's right. It's even bigger than that. In fact, we take in more people than the rest of the world combined in both of these programs. More than the rest of the world, and the United Nations is still pushing us to take more, in particular, more Muslims.
And this current administration is pushing in that direction also. I understand. Connie, did you?
And these organizations are in competition with each other, so they're lobbying for more people. So they're on board for the whole thing. And it's very concerning whenever we don't really know who's coming into our community.
That's right. Well, I think it's a very interesting topic. I know that y'all were following up and trying to plan some meetings with some of the people that are involved in it here locally. You said that North Carolina's got more than any other state. What makes us so attractive? Do you have
That's
any
That's a good question. Maybe because the agency's doing such a good job of placing these people. I really don't know.
Because we have such a good heart.
Is that it?
Don't you know?
We don't have a lot of big employers and stuff, so it's hard to spread them out in a small area. So
That's true. But whenever you look at Greensboro and Charlotte, that sounds like they're overrun. 14 in different locations in those two towns.
Mm. And that's why they get paid
more.
That's
a lot.
That's why they get paid more. That's why they want to go there.
Yeah, I have no idea why we got so lucky.
I don't either. Well, guys, it was good having you in the studio with us this morning and bringing this information to us. I'd like to invite our listeners to go to cctaxpayers.com. We're going to be posting some of this information on our website. You can look under the National Security tab there. And we'll just try to keep you up to date on what we find. And we'll have y'all back on a future radio program to talk about it some more.
And go online. Okay. Go online, those people that can.
Right.
And look this up. It's easy to find information.
That's the best thing to do, is go out there and look for the facts yourself. Mm-hmm. Here at CCTA, we put a lot of effort into having the source materials. We don't just go on here and say, we go by the source materials, and we'll be glad to give you that information online, too. A lot of this information today, I think, came from a book entitled Refugee Resettlement and Hijrah to America, and that's written by Ann Corcoran.
And a lot of it came from the U.S. Department of State itself.
Right off their website.
And if you go to YouTube, you can see her videos.
Okay, sounds good. All right, well, thanks again for being with us today, and we'll see y'all again next week.